Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of Beaker Bros, where we drink out of beakers because we're bros. My name is Janooni, and today I have two very, very special guests, some of my very best friends. We have Alyssa here, and we have Jacob. Do you guys want to say hi?
Hello.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Janooni. Thank you for having us today.
Of course, guys. So today, Alyssa and Jacob are kind of going to be part of our Life After Undergrad series and essentially give us a little overview of what they've done after undergrad, after their Bachelor of Science and Kinesiology degrees. So Alyssa here is a student at U of T, physiotherapy, and we have Jacob here in chiropractor school at, what is it again? What's the whole thing?
Canadian Memorial Chiropractic
College. There we go. But yeah, let's just get right into it. I kind of just said what you guys are students of, but do you guys want to like briefly introduce yourselves and kind of share your educational background a bit more?
Sure. Yeah.
You can go first, Jacob.
Yeah, I'll begin. Okay. Hi there, everyone. I'm Jacob. as Juni said, I'm a second year student at CMCC, the Canadian Memorial Chiropractic College. I'm going to give you a rundown from the beginning. So firstly, I'm a proud Bramptonian. So I'm from Brampton. I've lived here like my whole life. After undergrad, I moved back home. So I've been living in Brampton for a lot of my life. Went to high school here. I was a athlete for most of my life. I played a lot of American football. But unfortunately, in my senior year, I had a history of like a plethora of concussions. So I decided to take a step back. And luckily, I was I maintained a good within the classroom. So that was my resort. And it led me to pursue an undergraduate degree in kinesiology at McMaster. And through a long experience within my 4 years, including COVID, it led me through to graduate and pursue postgraduate studies in chiropractic.
Woohoo. Thank you, Jacob. How about you, Alyssa?
Hi, everyone. My name is Alyssa. I am currently a second year Master of Science in Physical Therapy student at the University of Toronto. Thank you, Janooni, for introducing me. Same as Jacob, I went to McMaster for my undergrad degree in kinesiology and also minored in psych. I guess I'll give a bit of background too. Before that, I'm from Markham. I've always had such a passion for just human movement, sports as well, and just kind of getting involved in my community, which I think all of those experiences throughout high school, throughout undergrad has led me to where I am today. So yeah, that's, keep it short and sweet like that.
I just want to get, before we like jump into like physio and chiro, I just want to ask you guys, like, did you guys always know you wanted to go into kinesiology like from high school, or was it more something that you kind of just found out, or like, was it something you knew as a kid, or was it something you knew in grade 12? Because for me, I didn't know kinesiology was a thing until I went into university and met other people in kinesiology. And I was like, oh, that's a cool program.
Mm-hmm. Personally, I think I've always known. I didn't, like, maybe in like grade 9 and 10, I didn't know the word kinesiology. But I always knew that I wanted to become a physiotherapist. I know I'm already jumping there, but I kind of like would ask around some of my teammates who were like in upper grades in high school, like, oh, like, what courses are you taking? And then they mentioned kinesiology. And then I had to do some research and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, this is it. Like, this is exactly what I've been looking for. So I think from a really young age, I've always known. Yeah.
I'm on the contrary. So I actually found out in grade 12. Once I was very tunnel vision, so like I really want to pursue football, and that's what I knew I wanted to do. But then once I took a step back, I realized that I had a passion for rehab, and I kind of wanted to help people that were kind of in my situation, and kind of led me down to the field of kinesiology.
Pretty admirable, like what you guys are kind of pursuing, because it's all different aspects and different ways you guys can go about it. Do you guys have a kinesiology course in high school? Because I know like my high school, we had a course and it wasn't as popular, but did you guys have one?
Yes. Yeah, we did.
Nice. Talked about kinesiology and kind of what got you from high school to kinesiology, but what has inspired you to go from kinesiology to physio or kinesiology to chiro?
Okay. So there wasn't one instance that kind of led me to pursue a field in chiro, but I think it was many instances. So through COVID and kind of like being in third year, as I got deeper into my undergraduate degree, I kind of explored different options and like it led me to question myself, like what's next? Like, where am I going next? And I kind of took the opportunity during COVID to kind of explore different options. Like while I was back in Brampton, volunteer with different chiros, physios, occupational therapists, and kind of get a view of what different fields are available and what I could pursue. And through exploring all of the fields, it kind of led me down to a chiro option. I even started working for a chiropractor and I really fell in love with the field. And I realized that I could combine what I do right now and what chiropractors are able to provide and kind of bring them into one narrow path. So it wasn't one instance, but kind of many that led me to the field of chiro.
So like many different experiences kind of cultivated the path to chiro. Yeah. How about you, Alyssa?
I agree. There wasn't just one instance for me, but there are just a multitude of different experiences and kind of vicarious experiences. So I saw so many of my family members receive treatment from physiotherapists who like essentially created like life-changing impacts on them. For example, my aunt sustained a traumatic spinal cord injury and like took many months for her to rehab again. And when I finally saw her again, like she's smiling in her wheelchair, doing wheelies and just like showing off what a physio had taught her. And at the time, you know, I was like, oh man, she's just like my cool aunt. But now that I'm here, I realize like, oh my gosh, that physio was trying to improve her quality of life. They were trying to, the wheelies are like literally important to get up like ramps and things like that. So she's like one of the biggest reasons I chose like physiotherapy after kinesiology. And like, just, she's not the only one, like so many family members of mine like benefited so much from physiotherapy. And I think just seeing how my loved ones were able to benefit from a profession like inspired me to follow the same route. So thinking of her and then thinking of the many mentors I had like along the way, I just like wanted to be like them because they were just the most compassionate, knowledgeable, and like professional leaders that I've ever like encountered. So I think just like wanting to be some close to what they are really inspired me to pursue physiotherapy. And I've always loved, like I said, human movement and rehabilitation and science as a whole. I also have found like a love for research too. So I know physiotherapists are very versed in pursuing research as well. So those are just like a few reasons. And yeah, I don't have like one moment, but just a like accumulation of different inspiring moments, I think, that have led me here.
Wait, I love that. I'm just going to put you guys on the spot just because so the viewers that we have may not know the difference. So I was wondering if you guys could explain the difference between chiro and physio and kind of, I know there's different paths you guys can take from kin, but why you chose maybe one over the other two.
This, is it okay if I start?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is like a question I ask myself throughout undergrad. For me, like I went into kin knowing I wanted to be a physiotherapist. I've always known, but you know, there's a bit of self-doubt and just like wondering, oh, maybe I could be this, should I do that? And I even had a mentor who was a chiropractor as well. And I learned from him, I was inspired by him as well. And I also had many physio mentors. So when it came down to it, I really had to do my research and think like, where can I really see myself? And I think bottom line is, I just really love how physiotherapy, you know, focuses on the body, focus on how the body moves and functions as a whole. And that includes your heart, your lungs, your brain, your nerves, like everything. And I think it's like really cool that we can play a vital role in like a wide range of musculoskeletal, cardiorespiratory, neurological conditions. For example, like who knew, like one of my placements, I was at SickKids for one of my placements. So who knew like physiotherapists can play such a vital role in a baby waiting for an organ transplant? like I think about this baby all the time, and he was waiting, he's still waiting for a heart transplant. And physiotherapists, like my mentors and myself, we've been helping him try to get to where he needs to be to prepare for this heart transplant. Or I think of another patient I had where they had Parkinson's disease, and I helped them learn how to like get up from a fall again. Or even just like on the weekend, I had a patient with like a orbital teratoma, and I had to like secrete, or I had to perform suction to remove secretions from them. Like these are just some conditions and patient populations I had no idea that physiotherapists could work in. So I think, sorry, this answer's like super long, but I think just being able to learn what patient populations and the different environments that physiotherapists can work in, like we work in the ICU, emergency department, NICU, rehab centers, prisons, schools, like you name it. So I like, that's what I learned about physiotherapy. And I think that's like huge, huge reasons why I love like a different challenge every day. I love being in diverse environments and being able to jump from different places to the other with a plethora of knowledge. So yeah, I hope that answers that question.
That's so cool. I didn't realize how physio encompassed like various settings and also like various conditions. That's actually really cool.
Yeah.
How about you, Jacob?
Very relatively the same. Like as I was volunteering and exploring the field of chiro and physio and that forth, I kind of realized that chiro I could kind of relate to a little more. And like, I feel like performance is something that led me down this realm. So after being an athlete, I like working with athletes, and I love as a personal trainer and a strength and conditioning coach. So I realized that I could kind of combine my wealth of knowledge within the exercise prescription and like the performance side of health and with chiropractic to come into one. And it's kind of interesting that Alyssa brought up the point of the vast populations that we're able to work with. Because even now, like as I'm in my program, there's so many populations I didn't realize we could work with, and like places that you can find a chiropractor. And also like, although it's like your non-Western like rehab, and like it's not like traditional, it's a lot of populations that we work with. And that kind of led me down the route of leading towards chiro. Like, and it's just interesting that the more and more that I learn, like the more fascinated I am with this field. Like it's almost like intuitively, like more and more I learn, like the more I want to be in this field. So although it led me down this field, and like performance wise, there's so many different populations within, like a chiropractor is dealing with musculoskeletal conditions, but there's so much more. So like through neurological conditions, through and more. It's just, yeah, same boat.
I love that. No, that's so cool. It's like very similar, but also very different, both of these fields, I would say. Okay, then so jumping on from, so you guys went from kin to physio or chiro. How did you guys navigate that transition from undergraduate studies to your current professional programs? It could be, I assume, like a big jump. It's a big difference. It's probably not the same curriculum, of course. Our traditional maybe 5 courses we have a semester might be different. And I just know, like talking to you guys like outside of this, it's very different. Like I know, Alyssa, you have like a unit, while Jacob, you have multiple courses all at once. How'd you guys kind of navigate that, and like what's one big lesson you kind of learned from that?
Okay. To begin, I'm gonna give you a little rundown of what schooling looks like. So I know that you said undergrad was very much like 5 courses at a time, 5 course semesters. And it kind of went from being very general in undergrad. So all the work pursuing was a specific degree. It's very general, and there's different things that you can focus on. Like there's different streams of kinesiology. So like now that you're in your field and like you're in postgraduate studies, it becomes more specific. So like you're learning a lot of things catering to chiropractic. So although it's like a lot of different fields, like it's all catering to stuff that you're going to be using as a professional when you're done. So to give you a rundown, we go from 5 courses in undergrad, 5 course semesters, to essentially it's 16 modules chiropractic school. So chiropractic school is 4 years. So it's like 4 modules per year. And each module, it's kind of like 13 to 15 courses. And it's a mix of just not only knowledge-based courses, so like your lecture-based courses, but then also your clinical application courses where you're like focusing on patient care and your ethics. And then there's also like hands-on technique and clinical diagnosis courses. So like you're combining all three of those into like a very busy week, but like although it seems like a lot, and it is a lot once you begin, it's very manageable and very like it's a big jump, but it's very manageable once you get your feet in the water.
For physio, I think like I've talked to you guys. Oh, sorry, Junie, were you about to say
no,
something?
No, you're good. You're good. You're good.
I've talked to you guys about this also, like outside of this, so many times that like how different a master's program is from undergrad. Like in undergrad, like you said, Jacob, everything's super structured. You know exactly what you're going to learn the next day. They give you the slides before. Not that they don't give me the slides before here, but it's like I don't have courses anymore. It's like you said, Janine, different units. So we have 14 units in total over the 24-month program. And some of those units also include like clinical internships or our research, specific to research as well. And yeah, it was like honestly quite a difficult transition, I would say. I'll be completely honest. I love structure, but I'm also always open to, you know, a challenge, which this program has definitely given me. But I think to navigate how different a master's program is from undergrad has been just switching my mindset in a way of thinking, okay, I need to learn this because I know I need to know this for my future patients. And man, if I don't know this, then how am I going to help my future patients? So every lecture, even some may call it like easy lectures, we call them spec lectures, social, political, ethical, and cultural lectures, just talking about like social issues as well, which I really appreciate that this program has integrated. You know, sometimes like even lectures like that, I take it in so much because I know that how important it is, it's going to be for my future patients. So I guess it's also a piece of advice for anyone who's kind of unsure of how to navigate this transition. Just like, I think finding a way to motivate yourself to really take in the information, absorb it meaningfully, can be very helpful, because that's kind of been very, very helpful for me.
Is there an added pressure then for when you guys are learning things from your courses? Because I feel like, okay, undergrad, when you're learning something in bio, chem, it's just like, okay, I'm just learning this, right? But now that you're learning things that is truly going to be helping in your profession, is there an added pressure being like, I really need to know this then?
100%, but it's the most wonderful pressure, I feel. Like, I know, like, oh man, like, in fourth year, you guys saw it, like, how stressful and, like, how worrisome it was to, like, or nerve-wracking, sorry, to get into this program was for, like, myself and Jacob, you as well. We had so many late nights just talking about, like, unsure of the future. So I think being so grateful to be here is just, like, an added motivation. And like, I've been pressured to get here already. So like, I'll just keep letting that motivation push me to really take in that information. So I like the pressure, I guess, to like really learn it. Yeah.
How about you?
I agree. That was a great way to put it. That was a great way to put it. Like, it's added pressure, but it's almost like a satisfaction pressure. Like, it's like a, like, I get to know this. And like, this is something that I get to carry on to kind of like treat patients to the best of my ability. Like, these are things that obviously were taught for a reason. And it's kind of like, it's definitely a different mindset and a different attitude I have towards learning now versus undergrad.
Then I like, maybe it's not pressure then, it's like motivation for you guys, right? Like, it's not something, I think the word pressure has such a negative connotation, but the way you guys describe it is so such a positive thing. So it's like motivation for you guys to even excel in your own field. Okay. I guess the next question I have, since you guys were talking about your transition and whatnot and kind of focusing on the academic demands, but how are you guys able to balance, or if you're not, be completely honest, balancing academic demands, clinical experiences, and even just personal life and social life?
Honestly, like, I feel like there's like plan, like I feel like I've become such a planner, and I've always been a planner, but like, I feel like structure is like something, Alyssa mentioned this before, but I love structure in my life, and like, I'm a big planner. And it's funny that you mentioned personal life, because like, even planning stuff with you guys, like, I plan like 3 weeks to a month in advance, like, and that's just how my life works, and that's how I like my life to work. Nothing's wrong with that, but like, life's busy, and like, balancing like academics with work and then personal life, it's a very big like something that we're not really taught how to do, but something that you just learn. And like, honestly, I feel like it's a constant battle of learning, because even when I think I figured it out, it's like I have it. And it's a great like battle with myself, like trying to figure it out. Because I feel like the more and more you transition through life, the busier you're gonna get. And yeah, it's like a obstacle I'm never gonna get over. But it's like you just keep going. That's the thing about time; it keeps going. So like time management is the biggest thing. But I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, I totally like resonate with that, Jacob. I think also just the part where you mentioned like it's a battle with yourself, it like really is. And I know all three of us like go through it. We talk about that as well. Just like we're just very busy people. But at the same time, I think personally, like I'm able to find like just spurts of happiness within that as well. Not that I'm like not happy like doing what I'm doing, but sometimes it does get quite difficult. And when I do feel, I've told you guys, sometimes I feel out of body because of just how busy life can be. And when I start feeling that way, I kind of remind myself like the reasons of what I'm doing. And like, I signed up for this, right? Like I can complain, but at the end of the day, I signed up for this. You know, these are the type of things that I would pray for, you know, back in the day. So I think again, switching the mindset of why am I doing this? Like reminding myself of why I'm here. And also I think the things that keep me the most busy are the things that I love the most. For example, like I love joining, you know, different clubs, committees, and getting involved with U of T and like my community. And everything that I like sign up for, say yes to, I feel contributes to me becoming a better healthcare professional, a better friend, a better sister, a better person. So like, for example, like I joined student council and I'm like thinking to myself, oh my gosh, I know it's going to take up so much time and everything, but the connections I've been able to make with my classmates, with like my professors, they're unmatched and I'll value them so much. So I think, yeah, just like reminding myself of why I signed up for this, why I like to keep myself busy, and just like reminding myself of the many amazing people I've met along the way, kind of like, oh, just like let me relax a bit and remind me of like, okay, it's okay to be busy, you know? Yeah.
I love that, because I think like both of you guys kind of encompass the part where it's like, so Jacob, like you schedule everything kind of months in advance or weeks in advance, and also you're like appreciating all the small things, but that's just kind of what you guys are doing. You're finding time to kind of have an identity outside of being a student, right? And kind of being able to explore social life and even just clinical experiences or any work experiences or clubs or committees, and kind of being able to create an identity through that. And I think it's amazing that you guys are able to balance all of that. I mean, as we know, like life has genuinely gotten busier as the older we get, and just being able to find time. I mean, I know Jacob and I have been playing phone tag for the past week and he hates me, but that's a different story. It's a whole different podcast we can have for that. But it's awesome to see you guys being able to balance that, but also kind of acknowledge the challenges that you guys have with dealing with all of this and kind of still finding it fulfilling, rewarding at the end of the day. I think that's really cool. I think my next question would then be, I'm trying to find the best way to, so you guys have hands-on learning, right? In different formats and variations. Can you share some of your most valuable hands-on learning experiences during your clinical placements or courses or experiences you guys had?
I can start with this one. So within the first, I'm not even gonna count the months, first few months of physiotherapy school, and throughout it, but in the first few months, you kind of get the fundamentals of physiotherapy. So we have our musculoskeletal unit, then we have our cardiorespiratory unit, and then our neurological unit, and a few more here and there. But we kind of get the foundation through hands-on experiences with like interspersed between like lectures. So we call them our clinical skills labs. And, you know, you partner up with a plinth. And a plinth, for those who don't know, is like a physio table or a therapy table. The ones that move up and down, you put your face in it and things like that. So you have a plinth partner, you switch here and there, just so you get a different feel of different bodies, different sizes, you know, just working with different people so you can get a holistic idea of what you're working with. And so through those hands-on clinical skills labs, you're then a few months later put into your first clinical internship. And for U of T specifically in this program, we have 5, 6 weeks, 6 week clinical internship. So within these internships, they try their best to intersperse us throughout different fields of physiotherapy. So for example, I've already had a musculoskeletal internship within a rehab setting in a subacute hospital. Then my second one was a pediatric internship in acute care in cardiorespiratory in the CCCU. So that's like completely different from my first one. And now I'm currently in my third one where it's a research internship. Not everyone gets a research internship, but I feel very lucky to have gotten one. Now I'm working with those with spinal cord injuries at one of the Toronto Rehab Institutes. So now I'm in my like neurological placement. So you have to like work with different populations and different settings to get different hands-on experiences. So yeah, that's kind of like they throw you out into the field so that you can get like real life experiences that way.
How about you, Jacob?
I feel like chiro physio are very hands-on professions, and especially chiro, like from the day you get in, like the first week, like where hands are on. So we have a few courses, like some of them vary from clinical technique, clinical diagnosis, and most of these, like basically from when you see a chiro to like when you're getting treatment, like from like there's a lot of diagnosis that goes into it. So like different orthopedic tests that we go through from the spine, all the levels of the spine, all the joints in the body. And then we need to learn how to diagnose these things. And then we need to learn how to treat these things. So like, this doesn't just happen in like a day, but like, it's a lot of learning, practicing, and then even practicing on your own time. Cause like, although we're taught all of these hands-on techniques, like it's on you to make sure these hands are professional and like make sure that they feel good and you're doing things properly. And so there has been a heavy hands-on approach, but we're in a hands-on profession, so it makes sense.
So how do you guys find the integration then of theoretical knowledge with practical clinical skills in your program? Because I feel like, okay, you're learning all this information, cool, but now you got to do it. So how do you guys find that aspect?
Okay, so it's kind of interesting because sometimes like we'll be in, for example, I told you that we have a lot of like knowledge-based courses, hands-on-based courses, clinical patient care courses. Sometimes we'll be learning something at 8 a.m. in lecture, and then you go to class later, and it's like you literally use what you just learned in lecture, and you're applying it hands-on. So it's almost like, and it's very weird because it's taught by different professors and different tutors and different chiropractors. So it's kind of interesting how it just happened to overlap. But you go into class, and like you could get by without going to the knowledge-based part, but it like helps integrate. Like by putting it all together, it's like you're taking what you learned and what you were hearing and what you're reading, and you're applying it to actually doing it. So it definitely all goes together, and it's almost like meshwork. Like they do it on purpose, so you're able to apply and put your best foot forward.
Is it a seamless process then? Or is there, like, have you found times, like in your own experiences, where there are hiccups where you're like, okay, I know this, but how do I apply this?
Honestly, I'm very much the type of person that like keeps tabs on everything I've learned. And like, I have it all, like I have a notes on everything and I have it on my iPad. So whenever I forget, like, or like not forget, but like I'm learning something new and I'm like, I've seen this before. I do a quick search on my iPad, pull it up, and I do a quick review, and it kind of helps. So like, although like there's stuff I've learned in first year that I'm using still this week. So like I do a quick brush up on it. And so like, yeah, I hope that answered your question.
It's like a constant reviewing process then for you.
Yeah.
How about you, Alyssa? How'd you find the integration of knowledge into like practical?
I think I've realized just like the importance of doing that, essentially like integrating that knowledge piece into practical, because like sometimes, you know, you kind of get into a pattern and you're just kind of doing things to do things. Then you realize you got to remind yourself, like, why am I assessing this? Like, why do I want to look at that range of motion, for example, and things like that. So I'm definitely always thinking about like the theoretical, or I'd like to say like that I am always thinking about it, but when you see things often, I think I'm just kind of like in the clinical internship mindset right now, since we've been in it for 12 weeks straight now, or almost 12 weeks. So I think just like if I see a patient every single day and, you know, we practice the same thing, I think it's really important to remind myself, like, why am I doing this? Oh yeah, because like, for example, like crawling turns on these pathways in your brain, and then the blah, 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 blah. Like, I need to remind myself that, because I found that like, it's so important to actually be thinking about that while treating a patient. Also because patients or clients are very curious. I found like, they want to know why we're doing a certain thing. So I need to, you know, I need to know why I'm doing it so that I could share and educate that information as well. But I'll be honest, there are times where sometimes I don't know the answer. For example, when I was in my cardiorespiratory placement a few weeks ago, we were looking at the lab results from a blood test for one of our patients. And then my CI asked me, do you know why, what a reason may be for this like level to be so high? And I was like, oh man, like I remember learning this in class, and I was just like, oh yeah, I'm sure this will be important one day. And then I realized, now that I'm actually here, oh yeah, I better brush up on this. So I think it's definitely okay to not know sometimes, but it's also important to admit that you don't know, and kind of knowing how to find the information after. So I really like, Jacob, how you said that you have those notes on hand all the time and you're able to like refer back to that. I think that's great. And that's definitely something I try to practice as well, but sometimes I don't know the answer. And I think that's, while we're still students now, it's okay to say, oh man, I don't know. And kind of ask for some guidance. So personally, like, that's what I've been doing. And I think that's totally okay.
I like, just like the idea of you're saying like, as students, it's fine that you kind of review your notes and you kind of go back to it. But I remember like seeing a video or something, how someone had broken their foot or whatever, and they literally were just watching their doctor, who was watching a video of how to fix the foot.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was like a moment of being like, oh no, would you want someone like who doesn't know it? But it's also the same concept, right? Like, it's like so much knowledge going on. Sometimes you just need to brush up on that and be like, okay, cool, let me go and do it. Cause it's okay to admit that you don't know, but you know the resources to acquire that information, and kind of like, and I think that's even more admirable for sure.
I think that's a very good point, because even like a lot of like chiropractors that teach us and like professors that we're taught, like a lot of them say that like, even if you don't know the answer, like it's okay to say you don't know, but let patients know that I will get that answer for you. Like, and even like you're right, you're not going to know everything, but there's stuff that you continue to learn, and there's always new research and new evidence coming out. So I feel like it's a good skill to have, that to know that you don't always know the answer, but you're able to get the answer.
It can also seem really intimidating, I assume, like just all the knowledge and having to know it all at once. But like you guys said, like just knowing how to get that information is a great skill set to even have in the first place. Okay, so since this is like a Life After Undergrad series podcast, what's one advice you would give to undergraduates considering a career in physiotherapy or chiropractic care?
I think the biggest piece of advice that I like to share with prospective students is know your why. Like, why are you choosing to pursue this profession? Why are you interested in it? You know, like, and why are you even thinking about it? Like, what is your why? I think that is the biggest question, and also one of the hardest ones, because that is a question that I would ask myself all the time. And you asked a question at the beginning, like, was there a specific moment that made you think about it? And that was always the question that I would ask myself, because, you know, I would read like people's stories of like getting into med school, for example. They had like one specific reason. For example, med school, chiro, physio, any, you know, professional program. They had a specific reason, I guess, like that's so in the movies, but I've learned that there isn't a specific reason, and it's okay to like not necessarily know your whole story of like why you want to do this, because my answer a year ago of why I want to pursue physiotherapy is completely different now, because I'm learning so much about this profession. But I think just like having an idea of like why you want to do this is like super, super important. So yeah, I think that would be my biggest piece of advice, just to kind of reflect on who you are as a person, where do you see yourself in the future, and Like, why do you want to do this?
That's a sorry, you were saying something today?
I just said I love that. Go
Oh
ahead.
yeah,
Good, yeah.
that's a very good like starting like that's a very like good basis. Like, 'cause I feel like a lot of people don't really take time to acknowledge like why am I doing this? Or, like, what's your why? Like, what gets you out of the bed in the morning? And that's something I reflect on often actually. But to add to that, like on top of your why, I think it's important to get involved. Like, I think it's important. Like, that's something I kind of took on like later on in my undergrad. And kind of took it for granted during COVID. Like, I was like, damn, I wish I took this, took more opportunity on campus to get involved, but all worked out. I got plenty of opportunity to get involved. And there's so many different bases on campus and like things like different clubs, different committees, different opportunities to get involved with like in the field of what you're pursuing. And I feel like we get so caught up on trying to get the best grades and we forget that there's so much more than grades. A lot more. Like the connections you build, the people you meet, the things you learn, and like just becoming a professional, like it's a lot of more than just getting good grades. So, like all in all, getting involved.
What I loved about your program, like at MAC, specifically Pekin, was the endless amount of opportunities to get involved. Like, there's so many things that cater to Pekin students that even just hearing, I was like, that is so cool. That is like amazing that you guys have field therapists, you guys have being even like a phys personal trainer, you guys have PACE. There's so many like different small things that I'm like, there's so many different ways to get involved and to explore that field and various fields before jumping into it. So that's one thing that I always loved about like hearing from you guys about like kin in general. The next question, I guess, is just to kind of like wrap it up, is like what has been the most surprising or unexpected aspect of your journey so far?
Okay, the most surprising aspect I'd say, or the most unexpected. Honestly, I think like once you reflect on your journey, like one thing that remains constant is like a lot of things are ambiguous and like you wouldn't know like back in grade 12 when I finished playing football, I would have never known if someone told me you'd be in chiropractic school, I'd be like, what is that? But like it's kind of cool to see the ambiguity going from point A to point B. But I feel like the things that remain constant is the network you build and the people that you get to meet. So like I think that's the most surprising thing, like the people you meet, because like although you're meeting so many different people and like you're building a network, like it's so amazing that like even when I'm finished, like it's gonna be so many people like that are gonna be healthcare professionals that I'm gonna be working with, alongside like their physios like Alyssa and the people that are in different fields and like even people that you become friends with. Like I think the people is the most surprising part because you don't really acknowledge it, but like it's a really like that's a big part of my why, the people and like being able to serve people and help people become better. So yeah, I'd say the most surprising part about the journey is like the people you meet along the way.
I love that, Jacob. That's I'm glad you're meeting so many great people. There's been, I think, so many like different surprising moments. And it's weird that I've only been in this program maybe like a year and a bit, but I think one of the most surprising things is I have like two-part answer here. Like academically, one of the most surprising things is like the scope of practice that physiotherapists have. Like, man, I did not know I would be working with certain populations. Like, I had no idea. I did not know we work in the ICU. I did not know we like all these different areas. I had no idea. And I did like here and there, like, oh yeah, physios work in hospitals, physios like work here and there. But like actually being in it's been the most like eye-opening and like it like just it's a huge motivator for me. So I think just, yeah, continuing to learn about what physiotherapists can do is the has been the most amazing thing, I think. I think proudest moment though is has been being able to apply the knowledge I've learned in the classroom to like real life, and not just like with patients, but like you guys know my grandma, she's like not doing the best right now, but like I think having like a bit of physio knowledge now has allowed me to apply so much of this knowledge to helping her. a few months ago, she wasn't even able to stand up after like the surgery she had. But my mom and I, we've been like, whenever I go home, we help her like strengthen and everything. And I'm just thinking of like different like cues I learned in class, like where should I place my hand? Because I know that's going to go up to the brain so that she thinks to sit up tall and things like that. I've been able to apply that to my personal life too. And my grandma can like stand up again, which I think is like my proudest. I give most of the credit to my mom. Like she asked me for a lot of advice, and like I being there like has made me feel very proud of that. So I think just yeah, being able to learn about the profession and also like apply the knowledge to real life and to situations that like truly like mean a lot to me. So yeah.
I love that. It's like you're able to use your own means and kind of help the people around you. And even for you, Jacob, right? Like connecting with people, like it's so amazing that your field has allowed for you guys to do that. And just being able to even have the skills, like you were saying, Alyssa, like just in class and learning, be like, oh, wait, I can do this. I can do this. It's almost like it's like real life. Like that is what your future is kind of like going to look like. And you're going to be helping other people out there too, which is honestly rewarding and unexpected as it is, right? I just like to wrap it up because I have no more questions. Any last words, any last advice that you want to share with our listeners? Anything? Who is Alyssa and Jacob outside of Physio and Chiro?
We're Gurgly Gassy Gals.
Okay. You said it. Okay, goodbye. At the campus. No, but yeah, like of course we talk about your identity as physio students or chiro students, but who are you guys outside of
I think that's a great question, Janine, because like my whole personality used to be getting into physiotherapy school. And now that I'm here, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, do I got a life outside of this? And I found that, thank goodness I do. I'm a friend, I'm a sister, I'm a daughter, I'm a cat lover. I love to run. I just ran my first half marathon about a month ago. I love to play sports. At the end of the day, too, I'm also a very passionate physiotherapy student. And I think through this profession and this program, not this program, like this profession and this future career, I'm able to exude a lot of, or like put myself in different situations that truly just like describe who I am. So, being in the gym, I'm able to still be thinking like, oh yeah, like this is the muscle I'm working out and things like that. So I think it's hard for me to like dissociate myself from my love for physiotherapy, but I personally wouldn't have it any other way because I'm still able to leave, my work not at home and, try to my best to be present at home. So yeah, that's a long-winded answer there.
No, but I love that. How about you, Jacob? Who is Jacob?
That's a great question, actually, because I feel like I heavily agree with us. So, like, sometimes, like, even like going into chiropractic school, like, I was a student pursuing like my post-secondary like education, and all my life I've always been like I don't know. I get very fixed on what my mission is or like what my purpose is at the moment, and like even like, but before I was always a football player, but then now like I became a student, like I'm just a high, like I'm a university student, and now like I'm a chiropractic student. But I feel like you asking that, like anything, even people watching this, I feel like you're more than what you like. Do I feel like we're also multifaceted? There's so many things you do in a day. Even though this is saying like I'm a brother, I'm a son. Like, one thing I'm trying to do a lot more is like kind of find hobbies outside of my scope. Like a lot of my hobbies are like catering inside. Like I'm a personal trainer. I work with a lot of athletes. I still like do a lot of things that are in the scope, but I'm trying to find a lot of other hobbies that are outside and like find different, like explore different things. Like, but yeah, that was a great question. Like, who is Jacob Nenden? And like, I feel like that guy changes every day, but I feel like that's the cool part about it. I get to try different things, and I'm not gonna talk about myself, but like I'm not gonna talk a lot about myself, but like I feel like that's the cool part about it. Like you kind of get to live a life, like as you get older, like school gets a lot more advanced, but you kind of get to find a identity outside of that, and like that's what kind of keeps you afloat, like finding time to do more for you and then while you're still doing more for school. So
I love that. Just finding that balance and knowing that there's an identity out of it, but also knowing that there's still a part of you tied to it because it's your passion, it's your motivation, it's kind of what fuels your heart in a way. But yeah. Thank you guys so much for all your insights today. And thank you guys for being on the podcast. I hope everyone that's listening got some great advice. If not, well, don't tell me. Just leave. Don't listen. Who cares? But thank you guys again. I really appreciate it. Till next time. Bye, guys.
Thank you for having us.